Govindalilamrita. Never gonna sneak that? No. Oh, yeah.
One Buddha said you take that and then never come back.
Never gonna sneak the Varna?
Yeah, that's the. That's what it stands. Never gonna sneak the Varna, Doritanjana Chikana, Indi Varanindi, Shru Komala. Jini Upamanagana, Hare Shavarani, Tramana, Krishna Kanti Parama Prabhana. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, Sri Krishna's complexion is as polished as powdered eye ointment. It surpasses the beauty of a newly formed cloud and is softer than a blue lotus flower. Indeed, his complexion is so pleasing that it attracts the eyes and minds of everyone, and it is so powerful that it defies all comparison. I've never seen a blue lotus flower. I've seen other colored lotus flowers.
Have you smelled it? I guess you haven't seen it, you haven't smelled it.
A blue one?
Mm.
As opposed to a red one?
Red, yellow, pink, white.
Earlier it was described Krishna's fragrance is like from the blue lotus flower.
Kahasakki ki karimpai. Krishna adbhuta balahaka. Moranetra chataka. Nadiki piyashi mariyai. My dear friend, please tell me, what should I do? Krishna is as attractive as a wonderful cloud, and my eyes are just like chataka birds, which are dying of thirst because they do not see such a cloud. Me ever watch clouds? I know in Yuvajadama I do it a lot. Clouds are really, really attractive things.
I've watched them.
Looking and looking, especially when they're deep and billowy. And
do they change colors?
They change colors.
In New Zealand they change colors pinkish to indigo. To
really?
Yeah. It's known as the land of the low white cloud.
Oh.
So yeah, watching clouds is quite popular.
Yeah, it's just, you just don't get enough of it. You just keep looking and looking.
Wasn't that song back in the 60s?
What song?
About the clouds. Oh, sometimes I hear it in my mind. I really don't know clouds at all.
Shodamini Pitambara Stiranahi Nirantara Muktahara Bhakapanti Pala Indridhanu Shikipaka Uparidya Chedika Aradhanu Vajrayanti Mala. Krishna's yellow garments look exactly like restless lightning in the sky, and the pearl necklace on his neck appears like a line of ducks flying below a cloud. Both the peacock feather on his head and his Vajrayanti garland containing flowers of five colors resemble rainbows. Murari Rakaladvani, Madhura Garjana Shuni, Vrindavani Natchi Mayura Chai, Akalankapurnaka Lalavanya Joshna Jalamala, Chitra Chandrira Tahate Udai. The luster of Krishna's body is as beautiful as the glow of a spotless full moon that has just risen, and the vibration of his flute sounds exactly like the sweet thundering of a newly formed cloud. When the peacocks in Vrindavan hear that vibration, they all begin to dance. Lilamrita Varishani Shinchit Chauda Bhavane Henamekha Javidik Hadila Durdaiva Chanja Bhavane Megeni Lahanyastani Mari Chataka Pitena Paila. The cloud of Krishna's pastime is drenching the 14 worlds with a shower of nectar. Unfortunately, when that cloud appeared, a whirlwind arose and blew it away from me. Being unable to see the cloud, the chataka bird of my eyes is almost dead from thirst.
I couldn't resist.
Hmm?
I couldn't resist. Excuse me. It's Joni Mitchell.
sounded folksy.
I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's clouds' illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds at all.
Don't remember it.
Sorry.
Puna kahi hoya hoya pada pada rama roya kahi prabhu gadgada akhai akhyan ramananda pari shloka shuni prabhu raharsha shoka apani prabhu rikarina vakhyan. In a faltering voice, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again said, "Alas, go on reciting Ramananda, Ram Roy." Thus Ramananda Roy began to recite a verse. While listening to this verse, the Lord was sometimes very jubilant and sometimes overcome by lamentation. Afterwards, the Lord personally explained the verse. Okay, I'll leave it. Someone continue.
You want to read?
Vikshyala kavritamakam tava kundala shri gandhastalada sudam asitavalokam tatamayam chabuja danda yugam valokya vaksha shri yaikaramanam chapavamadasya. Dear Krishna, by seeing your beautiful face decorated with tresses of hair, by seeing the beauty of your earrings falling on your cheeks, and by seeing the nectar of your lips, the beauty of your smiling glances, your two arms, which assure complete fearlessness, and your broad chest, whose beauty arouses conjugal attraction, we have simply surrendered ourselves to becoming your maidservants. Purport: this verse quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by the gopis when they arrived before Krishna for the rasa dance. Krishna jine padma chanda patiyache mukha panda tate adhara madhu smita char vajanari asi asi fande padi hoy dasi chari laja pati karo dwar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, after conquering the moon and the lotus flower, Krishna wished to capture the doe-like gopis. Thus he spread the noose of his beautiful face, and within that noose he placed the bait of his sweet smile to misguide the gopis. The gopis fell prey to that trap and became Krishna's maidservants, giving up their homes, families, husbands, and prestige. Bandhava Krishna Yukode Vyadya Achar Nahi Mani Dharma Dharma Hare Nari Migaman Kare Nana Upai Taha. My dear friend, Krishna acts just like a hunter. This hunter does not care for piety or impiety. He simply creates many devices to conquer the cores of the hearts of the doe-like gopis. Gandhastala jalamala nache makara kunda se nuche hare nari choy sasmita kataksha bane tasava hridaye hane nari vade nahi kichu boy. The earrings dancing on Krishna's cheeks are shaped like sharks and they shine very brightly. These dancing earrings attract the minds of all women. Over and above this, Krishna pierces the hearts of women with the arrows of his sweetly smiling glances. He is not at all afraid to kill women in this way. Ati ucha suvistar Lakshmi Shivas alankar Krishna ye dakatiya baksha Braja Devi laksha laksha tasava mano baksha Hari dasi karivare baksha. On Krishna's chest are the ornaments of the Srivatsa marks, indicating the residence of the goddess of fortune. His chest, which is as broad as a plunderer's, attracts thousands upon thousands of damsels of Braja, conquering their minds and breasts by force. Thus they all become maidservants of the Supreme Personality of God. Suralita Dirgagala Krishna Bhuja Yugala Bhuja Nahe Krishna Safra Kai Dvishala Chidre Paise Nadeya Hridaye Dhamse Mare Nahe Se Visha Dvalai. The two very beautiful arms of Krishna are just like long balls. They also resemble the bodies of black snakes that enter the space between the two ill-like breasts of women and bite their hearts. The women then die from the burning poison. Purport. In other words, the gopis become very much agitated by lusty desire. They are burning due to the poisonous bite inflicted by the black snakes of Krishna's beautiful arms. Krishna Koro Paritava Koti Chandra Shushita Jini Kapoor Vina Mula Chandan Eka Bhaya Sparshe Smara Jwala Vishanase Yasparshe Lubda Nari Mula. The combined cooling effect of camphor, roots of kasa kasa and sandalwood is surpassed by the coolness of Krishna's palms and the soles of his feet, which are cooler and more pleasing than millions upon millions of moons. If women are touched by them even once, their minds are enticed, and the burning poison of lusty desire for Krishna is immediately vanquished. Etika vilapakori prema reshe godahari e arte pari eka shloka se shloka pari vaha vishakale kohe badha Ukadiya Hridayar Shoka. Lamenting in ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then recited the following verse, which was spoken by Srimati Radharani while exposing the lamentation of her heart to her friend, Srimati Vishaka.
Hari Mani Kavatika Pratata Hari Vakshastava Swara Swaratha Tarani Mana Kalusa Hari Dora Argava Sudamsu Hari Chandanopala Sita Bra Sitangaka Same Madana Mohana Saki Tanati Vakshaspriyam. My dear friend, Krishna's chest is as broad and attractive as a door made of Indranila gems, and his two arms as strong as bolts. Can relieve the mental anguish of young girls distressed by lusty desires for him. His body is cooler than the moon, sandalwood, the lotus flower, and camphor. In this way, Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid, is increasing the desire of my breasts. This verse is also found in the Govinda Amrita. Prabhu kahe Krishna muni ekana ipayino apanara dhritayave kuna harayino. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, I just now had Krishna, but unfortunately I've lost him again. Chanchala Svabhava Krishnira Naraya Ekastani Deka Dhiya Mana Hari Kari Antardani. By nature, Krishna is very restless. He does not stay in one place. He meets with someone, enchants his mind, and then disappears. Tasam Tat Saubhagamanam Vikshyamanam Chakeshava Prasamaya Prasadaya Tatravan Taradhiyata. The gopis became proud of their great fortune. To subdue their sense of superiority and show them special favor, Keshava, the subduer of even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, disappeared from the rasa dance. Report. This verse quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Pariksit.
Hmm. Shama Mahanamsa Keshava, which is the name, but here the one of the meanings of Keshava is incorporated into the translation. Krishna. Do you know whether that was Prabhupada or?
I don't know who did the translations here.
Ka and Isha, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Mm-hmm. Svarupa gosa nirakahaniya kahina gava eka gita yate amara hidayara hayita samvit. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said to Swarupa Tamadhara Goswami, please sing a song that will bring consciousness to my heart. Svarupa gosani tabe madhura kariya gita govindhira pada gaya prabhure sunana. Thus, for the pleasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodara Goswami began very sweetly singing the following verse from the Gita Govinda. Rase harim iva vihita vilasam smarati mano mama krita parihasam. Here, in the arena of the rasa dance, I remember Krishna, who is always fond of joking and performing pastimes. Purport. This verse is sung by Srimati Radharani. Svarupa Gosai Yabe e Pada Gahila Uti Prema Veshe Prabhu Nachite Gila. When Svarupa Damodara Goswami sang this special song, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately got up and began to dance in ecstatic love. Ashta sattvika bhava angi prakata harila harshadi vyabhachari sava utalila. At that time, all eight kinds of spiritual transformations became manifest in Lord Chaitanya's body. The 33 symptoms of vyabhachari bhava, beginning with lamentation and jubilation, became prominent as well. Bhavodaya bhava sandhi bhava sabalaya sabalaya bhave bhave mahayudhe sabhara prabhaya. All the ecstatic symptoms such as bhavodaya, bhava sandhi, and bhava sabalaya awakened in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A great fight arose between one emotion and another, and each of them became prominent.
Sri Pada Puna Puna Karaya Bayan Puna Puna Ashwadai Karina Naftan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had Swarup Damodara sing the same verse again and again. Each time he sang it, the Lord tasted it anew, and thus he danced again and again. Ei Matanitya Rihai Labahukshana Swarup Prabhushani Parikaila Samapana. After the Lord had been dancing for a long time, Swarup Damodara Goswami stopped singing the verse. Bal bal bali prabhu kahina vara vara nagaya swarupa goswami shrama deki kanga. Over and over again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, go on, sing, sing. But Swarup Damodara, seeing the Lord's fatigue, did not resume singing. Bal bal prabhu valena bhakta guna bhakta gana shuni. When the devotees heard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say, go on singing, they all gathered around him and began to chant the holy name of Hari in unison. Ramananda Roya Tavi Prabhu Rava Shaiva Vijanari Kari Prabhu Rishrama Bhuchaiva. At that time, Ramananda Roya made the Lord sit down and dissipated his fatigue by fanning him. Could someone refresh my memory? Where are we? We're in the garden.
Yeah.
We're in a garden that reminded Lord Chaitanya, and that's why there's other devotees there as well.
I just remember that was the last place. It was in the garden. But
Because previously we were in Chatakaparavata.
Yeah.
Prabhurulana Giva Shadva Samudhri Ratire Snana Snana Karana Kuna Tandra Lana Yodhari. Then all the devotees took Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the beach and bathed him. Finally, they brought him back home. Bojana Karana Prabhuri Karayiva Krayam Ramananda Adi Shadi Giva Nijastan. After they fed him lunch, they made him lie down. When all the devotees headed by Ramananda Roy returned to their respective homes. Eta Kahilun Prabhura Udhyana Bihar Vrindavana Brahmidyanam Pravesha Tanha. Thus I have described Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in the garden, which he entered mistaking it for Vrindavan. Pralapa Sahita Ivan Madhavarnan Sri Rupa Goshani Inakariya Chinvarnan. There he exhibited transcendental madness and ecstatic ravings, which Sri Goloswami was described very nicely in his Stavanala as follows. Payoresha stiris buddha pavanali kumannaya muhur vindavanya smarana janita prema vimasha kvachit krishna vitti prachalarasana bhakti rasika sachaitanya kimmetna rati drishu yasati padam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the topmost of all devotees. Sometimes while walking on the beach, he would see a beautiful garden nearby and mistake it for the forest of Vrindavan. Thus he would be completely overwhelmed by ecstatic love of Krishna and begin to chant the holy name of dance. His tongue worked incessantly as he chanted Krishna, Krishna. Will he again become visible before the path of my eyes? This is a quotation. This quotation is verse 6 from the first Chaitanya Ashtaka in Sri Rupa Goswami Stavanala. Ananta Chaitanya Lila Nayaya Likhan Nimata Dekhana Tahakariya Shichan. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are unlimited, and it is not possible to write of them properly. I can give only an indication of them as I try to introduce them. Shirupuraguna Padayara Chaitanya Charitamrita Kalitrish Vadaras. Praying at the lotus feet of Shirup and Shiraganath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. The sense of Bhaktivinoda purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, I believe the 15th chapter describing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime in the garden by the sea. I just need a sip of water.
It's a well thing right in the counter.
Yesterday we were talking about the, sometimes Prabhupada would say something and quote a verse, and you'd say, huh, that verse supports that. It's not obvious. And a lot of times I find Jiva Goswami, he either makes certain conclusions and he gives different conclusions quoting the same verses, which are very, very unique, very unique explanations of bhakti and what to speak of philosophy. I have read Preeti, Tattva, and Bhakti. Those are the ones that I'm often around. Bhagavad Paramatma. Yeah.
Well, my feeling is that Tattva Sundara was about the limit of 99% of the readers. Anything, in other words, when I say the limit, anything more technical than Tattva Sundara, you're going to just get a turn off after the first few pages. Well, it's a nice book to have on my bookshelf. It completes the Siddharthas.
Anyway.
So therefore, I asked Vaisheshika, how many copies do you really think you can sell of this?
And?
He's thinking about it.
Yeah, so they need to be published in the future. When the devotees become more brahminical, they'll be there.
And it's authorization of bhakti, the bhakti movement.
So philosophy in one place.
I also have a question that's been asked yesterday. In terms of writing, much to my surprise, one book I wrote for outreach, Hiding Unnatural Happiness, it's so far sold 80,000 copies, and now it's 120,000 copies.
Which book is this?
It's a book I wrote, enhanced lectures that I've given at universities. So it's distributed on Sangaton in the UK and USA and Australia and New Zealand.
And it sold 120,000 copies?
It sold 80,000 so far. It's just reprinted another 40,000 copies.
Whoa.
For me to write those kind of books, I have to be abreast with a lot of contemporary stuff. And that takes time away from the nectar. Because I use a lot of contemporary things to push persons toward the right conclusion. It's the same way I speak at universities. So.
Well, you use a lot of those things in classes, too.
Yes.
Yeah, in the Bhagavatam class you gave at the Sarasanga Festival.
Oh.
I did?
Yeah.
I usually don't try not to do that in Ukraine.
No, Sarasanga in Russia. You pulled out some things. I remember some about enjoyment, material enjoyment.
So that takes work, you know. One has to keep abreast and sift and find the things that show that no material solution will work.
So do we.
Or I can just be, you know.
You're going into the contemporary. Meanwhile, I'm going back into the classical, into Varnashram, and it's not exactly rasa-rasika stuff.
So what's the question? Is it a waste of time?
No,
you gotta do it. That's... Well, you're the one who told me. Prabhupada said to Swarupa Damodar Maharaj, by smashing the scientists to reveal your swarup.
He said that.
Yeah.
Well,
what's a new approach to Siddha Pranali?
Yeah. It's a new approach to a lot of things. I mean, it's not a new approach, it's the general approach that we're trying, it's the paradigm that we're attempting to change. But you have to go a little deeper than smashing the scientists if you want to achieve your sarup. But what do you do when there are quotes like that?
Well, you have to go deep. But that's what's going to get you the mercy.
Mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the mercy of Krishna. The more you beat on Darwin's face, the more you worship Radha and Krishna.
What was the quote we gave the other day also? Quoting somebody about Radharani? Quoted the GBC meetings.
Yeah. Oh, about Sankirtan.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a controversy in L.A. in the early 70s where the Sankirtan devotees and Ramaswara were going around saying that Nikunja Yuna Ratikeli Sitaya. That applies to Sankirtan devotees because they're arranging for jivas to meet up with Krishna. And so many were saying that this is too far out, this is exaggerations, this is finances. And so I saw the line, I don't know if the letters in the folio, I saw it with my own eyes, because I was there. Because I was filing Prabhupada's letters. And so Prabhupada answered, yes, this is true. It kind of blew everyone's mind.
Yeah. That's why, you know, when I get into it, say, well, who's really Nikunja? And I think, I said, what's going on? What's going on that here we are, 30, 40 year old devotees making statements like that? We're so out of touch.
So what were you thinking about that?
Nothing, it's just another quote from Prabhupada. That's what I was thinking. Another quote from Prabhupada is evidence of Prabhupada's magnanimity.
Well, is it in line with the famous song that Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvatipur would he sing it during Ratha Yatra? The one Bhakti Sri Maharaj always quotes.
Puja Lahayama Padula Bhavanga. Yeah. I mean, we need to qualify ourselves, purify ourselves. But then there has to be some cause, or something has to bring about the bestowal of mercy. And in this case, it's going to be Nirvishesis and Nivadi Pashyatri Satarini. It's going to be by preaching. Because the other one may take a lot longer.
The other one?
The sadhana process, the crying process, and
I find more and more and more in my conversations with devotees that when devotees hear that, the type of consciousness that's supposed to be there for spiritual perfection, they get more and more discouraged.
Try. That's encouraging to hear.
I find that a lot. They get discouraged. Because they think they're just so far from it that they feel it's almost like a futile attempt to obtain it.
Yet Prabhupada could be so encouraging. I read Vyasa Puja offerings to him from his disciples, or hearing lectures. So many of them have gotten a letter or a statement from Prabhupada that if you just do this, at the end of life you'll go back to God. So is this an exaggeration, or is just...
So many. I'm just looking for it. The CC. That's it, not exaggeration. Madhya Lila 23. The most munificent Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Gaura Krishna, distributed to everyone, even the lowest of men, his own confidential treasury in the form of nectar of love of himself and the holy name. This was never given to the people at any time before. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Of course, when you do read Sandarbhas, there's a lot of science to it. There's a lot of effort. It's very elaborate
effort on the part of the reader.
Well, effort on part of the sadhaka. I think there are both things that it's made by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grace. It's made relatively easy.
Easily accessible. Is that first cover as Goswami says?
Katanchas, Matthias, man.
No. Glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an ocean of mercy. So although the subject matter of bhakti is very difficult to understand, but unless he's made it so easily accessible in this age of Kali.
And that's why preaching is the most confidential service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
My understanding is that making it accessible was because he taught by his example. And therefore that's what made it accessible. I mean, obviously, not only did he preach it, but by his tasting, he already distributed the taste to others.
So when you see Lord Chaitanya's example, it isn't exactly a standard method. It's like, you know, he gets initiation and bang. there's no sadhana anywhere. It's just all of a sudden, I'm heading off to Vrindavan to find Krishna. And then after that, it's just all ecstasy. It's just all prema and bhava and mahabhava and...
In other words, what kind of an example is that to follow?
That's all it takes, okay.
Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also Jayavadhava says in a matter of what? Short, very, very quickly. He says, very quickly you will achieve the perfectional state, of course.
Because there they went through. Systematic study, very systematic study. And then went to Puri. It's really beautiful how it ends, Jayavadhama. I always look at that, the last sort of page and a half, it's like the last paragraph of For Whom the Bell Tolls. It's just... emotive, beautiful.
I've only read it once.
It's, yeah,
I've read it again and again and again.
Something to really study, because it's got everything.
Everything.
Phenomenal book. I mean, it's got some dharmas, it's got
everything. What to speak of Lam Tapa.
Bhakti Bhagavan Maharaj always speaks about that new
creative
festival. Yes. Yeah, extraordinary. Bhakti Thakur sort of has a very like Western analytical way of presentation, very easily accessible to those folks. Do we do this next chapter? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tastes nectar from the lips of Lord Sri Krishna. Adaramrit.
I'm okay with that.
The 16th chapter is summarized by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabhava Bhasya. When the Bengali devotees of the Lord returned to Jagannath Puri, a gentleman named Kalidas, who was an uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami, went with them to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kalidas had tasted the remnants of food of all the Vaishnavas in Bengal, even Jadu Thakur. Because of this, he received the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Jagannath Puri. When Kavi Karnapur was only 7 years old, he was initiated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He later became the greatest poet among Vaishnava Acharyas. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate the remnants of food known as Vallabha Bhog, he described the glories of such remnants of the Lord's food and then fed all the devotees the prasadam. Thus they all tasted Adharamrit, the nectar of the lips from Lord Krishna. One day Sri Krishna Chaitanya Krishna Bhavamrita hi Krishna Bhavamritam hiya Ashvadyasya Vadan Bhaktan Prema Diksham Ashikshayat. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who personally tasted the nectar of ecstatic love for Krishna and then instructed his devotees how to taste it. Thus he enlightened them about ecstatic love of Krishna to initiate them into transcendental knowledge. Prema Diksha. Ashiksha. Far out, he gave Shiksha and Diksha. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Dvita Charya, and all glories to all the devotees of the Lord. E Mata Mahaprabhu Rahina Nilacha Bhakta Gana Sangha Sada Prema Vyuhali. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the state of Jagannath Puri in the association of the devotees, always merged in ecstatic devotional love. Varsantari Vaila Shabagaudira Bhaktagan, Purvavata Shikaira Prabhurinagan. The next year, as usual, all devotees from Bengal went to Jagannath Puri, and as in previous years, there was a meeting between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees. Tanshavarasangi Aila Kalidasanam Krishnanam Avina Teho Nahi Kahan. Along with the devotees from Bengal came a gentleman named Kalidas. He never uttered anything but the holy name of Krishna. Mahabhagavata Tenho Sarala Uda Krishnanam Asankete Chalaya Vyavaha. Kalidas was a very advanced devotee, yet he was simple and liberal. He would chant the holy name of Krishna while performing all his ordinary dealings. Kottaketi tinho yadi pashaka kilai Hare Krishna Krishna Hari pashaka chai. When he used to throw dice in jest, he would chant Hare Krishna while throwing the dice. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur warns the men of this age not to imitate the jesting of a Mahabhagavat like Kalidas. If someone imitates him by playing with dice or gambling while chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, he will certainly become a victim of offenses unto the holy name. As it is said, Harinama Balipatpa Prabriti, one must not commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. Playing with dice is certainly gambling, but it is clearly said here that Kalidas did this only in jest. A Mahabhagavata can do anything, but he never forgets the basic principles. Therefore, it is said, Taravakya Kriya Mudra Vigyaya Navajaya. No one can understand the activities of a pure devotee. We should not imitate Kalidas. Raghunatha Dashira Tentro Haya Gyanthi Kuda Vaishnavira Uchishita Kaite Tenho Baila Buddha. Kalidas was an uncle of Raghunatha Das Goswami. Throughout his entire life, even in his old age, he tried to eat the remnants of food left by Vaishnavas. Gaudade Shihayata Vaishnaviragan Shabara Uchishtatenho Karila Bhojan. Kalidasa ate the remnants of food of as many Vaishnavas as there were in Bengal. Brahman Vaishnaviata Chauta Badahoi Uttamavasudhi Talana Tanratani Jari. He would go to all the Vaishnavas born in Brahman families, be they neophyte or advanced devotees, and present them with gifts of first-class eatables. Tanratani Shisha Patra Laira Magiya Kahanna Payata Virahi Lukana. He would beg remnants of food from such Vaishnavas, and if he did not receive any, he would hide. Bhojan Karili Patra Pelana Yai Lukanashe patra ani chatikai. After the Vaishnavas finished eating, they would throw away their leaf dishes, and Kalidas would come out of hiding, take the leaves, and lick up the remnants. Shudra Vaishnavira Garayaya Vitalan, Ematatana Uchishta Kayantan. He would also take gifts to the home of Vaishnavas born in Shudra families. Then he would hide and in this manner eat the remnants of food they threw away. Gunimal jati Vaishnava Jadutandrana Amra Palalana Tenhu Gila Tandrasana. There was a great Vaishnava named Jadutakur who belonged to the Bunimali caste. Kalidas went to his home taking mangoes with him. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks, both Kalidas and Jadutakur are worshipped at a place called Sri Patabati in the village known as Bedo or Badhuya. This village is situated about 3 miles south of the village of Krishnapur, the birthplace of Raghunath Das Goswami, which is about 1 mile west of the Byandar junction of the Burdwan line. A post office there is named Devanandapur. Jadutakur used to worship the deity of Srimadan Gopal. The deity is still worshipped by one Ramprasad Das, who belongs to the Ramayat community. It is said that the deity worshipped by Kalidas had been worshipped until recently in the village of Shanka on the bank of the Saraswati River, but the deity was taken away by a gentleman named Matilala Chattopadhyaya from the village of Triveni. The deity is now being worshipped at his place. Where is the Saraswati River? I mean, here in the Jalangi? Which I don't know these.
Yeah, somewhere around here. I was just reading Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's birth work, saying that the Saraswati used to flow here.
Used to flow?
Used to flow by certain parts of Navadvipa. The Saraswati was around somewhere. I always thought it's...
Yeah, in that song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Pivo Saraswati Jal, he's talking about Jalangi.
Yeah.
So I guess this must be nearby. Mm-hmm. Want to continue? Amra.
Amra Beta Dia Tanra Chanana Bandira. Tanra Patni Re Tabe Namaskar Kayala. Kalidas presented the mangoes to Jadutakur and offered him respectful obeisances. Then he also offered respectful obeisances to the Thakur's wife. Patni Sahata Tenho Achena Vasiya Baho Samana Kaila Kalidasir Ve Dekiya. When Kalidas went to Jadutakur, he saw that saintly person sitting with his wife. As soon as Jadutakur saw Kalidas, he likewise offered his respectful obeisances unto him. Ishta Goshti Katra Shama Kore Tanra Sare Jadutakur Kore Tanre Madhur Vachana. After discussing with Kalidas that lasted for some time, Jadutakur spoke the following sweet words. Ami Nita Jati Tumi Atiti Sarvotta Komprakade Kalimu Ame Toma Sevana. I belong to a low caste, and you are a very respectable guest. How shall I serve you? Adya Deha Brahmana Gore Anavaya Diye Taha Tumi Prasad Pao Tabe Ami Diye. If you will permit me, I shall send some food to a brahmana's house, and there you may take prasadam. If you do so, I shall then live very comfortably. Kalidasa kohe, Thakur kripa kora more, tamar darshane ainu mui patita pamare. Kalidas replied, my dear sir, please bestow your mercy upon me. I have come to see you, although I am very fallen and sinful. Pavitra ha inu mui, painu dara shon. Katata ha inu mor, sapala jivana. Simply by seeing you, I have become purified. I am very much obligated to you, for my life is now successful. Eka vancha hoy yadi kripa kori ko para raja deho para mora vante do. My dear sir, I have one desire. Please be merciful to me by kindly placing your feet upon my head so that the dust on your feet may touch it. Takura kohe. Aiche bhat kohite na yuyaya. Ami nicha jati dumi susaj jana raya. Janu Takura replied, it does not befit you to ask this of me. I belong to a very low caste family, whereas you are respectable rich gentlemen. Kabe kali dasa shloka pari shunaila shuni janu takera bhara sukha kaila. Kalidas then recited some verses, which Janu Takura was very happy to hear. Name bhaktas chaturvedi man bhaktas svapacharpya tasmai deyam tato gayam satya pujyo yatagyam. Even though one is a very learned scholar in Sanskrit literature, if he is not engaged in pure devotional service, he is not accepted as my devotee. But if someone born in a family of dog eaters is a pure devotee with no motivations for enjoyment through fruitive activity or mental speculation, he is very dear to me. All respect should be given to him, and whatever he offers should be accepted, for such devotees are indeed as worshipable as I am. Purport. This verse, spoken by the Supreme Personality Godhead, is found in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Vipradvi Sadguna Yitar Aravinda Nava Padaravinda Vimukat Svapacham Vrishtam Manye Tadarpita Mano Vachane Hitarta Pranam Punati Sakulam Natu Bhuri Manava. A person may be born in a Brahmana family and have all 12 brahminical qualities. But if in spite of being qualified, he is not devoted to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who has a navel shaped like a lotus, he is not as good as a chandal who has dedicated his mind, words, activities, wealth, and life to the service of the Lord. Simply to take birth in a Brahmana family or to have brahminical qualities is not sufficient. One must become a pure devotee of the Lord. If a Swapachara or Chandal is a devotee, he delivers not only himself, but his whole family. Whereas a Brahmana who is not a devotee, but simply has Brahmana qualifications. Whereas a Brahmana who is not a devotee, but simply has brahminical qualifications, cannot even purify himself, what to speak of his family. This is the following verse I quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam. Aho bhata Swapachara gari yan. Yaj jivagre varchate nama tubhyam. Te pustapas te juhuvu sasnur arya brahmanu chura nama grinanti yate. My dear Lord, anyone who always keeps your holy name on his tongue is greater than an initiated brahmana. Although he may be born in a family of dog eaters, and therefore by material calculations be the lowest of men, he is glorious nevertheless. That is the wonderful power of chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who chants the holy name is understood to have performed all kinds of austerities. He has studied all the Vedas, he has performed all the great sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas, and he has already taken his bath in all the holy places of pilgrimage. It is he who is factually the Aryan. Shuni Takura Kohe Shastra E Satya Kohe Se Shrista Aiche Yante Krishna Bhakti Hoy. Hearing these quotations from the revealed scripture Srimad Bhagavatam, Janu Takura replied, yes, this is true, for it is the version of Shastra. It is true, however, for one who is generally advanced in devotion to Krishna. Ami Nicha Jati Ama.
Interesting, sir. Usually advanced means that at least devotee is offenseless when he talks about his bhakti. Janu Takura replies, and it's true, but it's for one who's really advanced to Krishna, not someone who's It's a very neophyte in their devotion and haven't really been able to chant defenselessly.
So that what he's saying is he considers himself to be still defenseless.
Yeah. Well, he's trying to get out of fulfilling his requests also.
And as Chaitanya Charitamrita says, the natural characteristic of prema is that one thinks one is having it all. It's there in what we read in Brihad Bhagavatamrita.
Humility. Humility and prema and love are synonymous.
I remember in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami's interesting definition of dānya.
Yeah.
In which one thinks one is totally worthless. But he points out it actually means that everyone else thinks you're very expert, but you yourself think you're worthless. So it's not that you're just incompetent, but everyone else thinks you're very expert.
Mm.
But you naturally feel like I don't have any abilities.
Ready for me? Or you will continue? Go ahead.
Ami niche jati ama nahi Krishna bhakti. Anya aiche hoy amar nahi aiche shakti. Such a position may befit others, but I do not possess such spiritual power. I belong to a lower class and have not even a pinch of devotion to Krishna. Purport. In his statement, Jadur Thakur presents himself as being born in a low class family and not having the qualifications of a bona fide devotee of Lord Krishna. He accepts the statements declaring a low-born person highly exalted. He accepts the statements declaring a low-born person highly exalted if he is a Vaishnava. However, he feels that these descriptions from Srimad Bhagavatam appropriately describe others, but not himself. Jadur Thakur's attitude is quite befitting a real Vaishnava. For a Vaishnava never considers himself exalted, even if he factually is. He is always meek and humble and never thinks that he is an advanced devotee. He assigns himself to a lower position, but that does not mean he is indeed low. Sanatana Goswami once said that he belonged to a low-caste family, for although he was born in a Brahmana family, he had associated with Malechas and Yavanas in his service as a government minister. Similarly, Jadur Thakur presented himself as someone who belonged to a low caste, but he was actually elevated above many persons born in Brahmana families. Not only is there evidence for this in Srimad Bhagavatam, as quoted by Kalidas in verses 26 and 27, but there's also considerable evidence for this conclusion in other shastras. For example, in the Mahabharata, it is stated, Shudre tuya bhavel lakshma dvije tachchana vidyate. Navaishudra, Bhavetshudra, Brahmano Natcha Brahmana. If someone born a Shudra possesses the characteristics of a Brahmana, and someone born a Brahmana does not, that Shudra should not be known as a Shudra, and that Brahmana should not be known as a Brahmana. Similarly, in the Vana Parva, chapter 203, it is said, Shudra yonahi jatasya, sadgunanu patishtataha. Arjave vartamanasya brahmanyam abhijayate. If a person born in a sudra family has developed the qualities of a brahmana, such as satya, truthfulness, shama, peacefulness, dhamma, self-control, and arjava, simplicity, he attains the exalted position of a brahmana. And in the Anushasana Parva, chapter 163, it is said, Stato brahmana dharmena brahmanyam upajivati. Chachyo vata vaishyoha brahma bhuya sagashati. Avis dikarma bhya devi subhar achari tais tata. Shudra brahmanatam yati vaishya chatriyatam bhajit. Nayonya napi samskaro na shrutam na cha tati karanani drita vasya vritam eva tukarana. If one is factually situated in the occupation of a brahmana, he must be considered a brahmana, even if born in a Kshatriya or Vaishya family. O Devi, even if one is born a Shudra, if he is actually engaged in the occupation and pure behavior of a brahmana, he becomes a brahmana. Moreover, a Vaishya can become a Kshatriya. Therefore, neither the source of one's birth, nor his reformation, nor his education is the criterion of a brahmana. The vritta, or occupation, is the real standard by which one is known as a brahmana. We have seen that a person who is not the son of a doctor and has not attended a medical college is sometimes able to practice medicine. By practical knowledge of how to perform a surgical operation, how to mix medicine, and how to give certain medicines for certain diseases, a person can receive a certificate and be registered as a medical practitioner in the practical field. He can do a medical man's work and be known as a doctor. Although qualified medical men may consider him a quack, the government will recognize his work. Especially in India, there are many such doctors who perform their medical services perfectly.
I should say, only in India. I was thinking, well, that definitely doesn't apply in the West, does it?
Yeah, just to be a nurse, you have to go to school for so many years. Similarly, if one is engaged in political service or occupational duties, he must be considered a brahmana, despite the family in which he is born. That is the verdict of all the shastras. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, yasya ya lakshanam proktam pumso varnam vidyanjakam yat ayam chapi drishyeta tatenaiva vinir jishet. This is a statement by Narada Muni to Maharaj Yudhisthira, where Narada says that the symptoms of a brahmana, kshatriya, and vaishya are all described in the shastra. Therefore, if one is found exhibiting the symptoms and qualities of a brahmana, kshatriya, or vaishya, and serving in a veridical kshatriya, or vaishya occupation, even if he is not born a brahmana, kshatriya, or vaishya, he should be considered such according to his qualifications and occupation. In your Varnashram book, you're commenting on this?
It's the this Yatraya Lakshanam is the Mula Mantra of sort of Varnashram in the Bhagavatam. But here this Mahabharat, that vritti, the occupation, is the real key. It's certainly something that you have to qualify, because everywhere else, whether Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, Manusmriti, says that, you know, someone may take up, in a case of emergency, some other occupation, but if that's actually not their real varna, then they should, when the emergency passes, they should put it down. So the misunderstanding can be that someone just, okay, I'll just start acting like a Brahmin, but have you received initiation? Have you you received blessings and instruction and guidance from Guru in order to do those things? Like Prabhupada gives the example of the son of a doctor, but he's learned from his father, therefore he knows, not he just sort of made it up and I'm doing it, so I'm doing the occupation of a Brahmin, so you should accept me as a Brahmin.
According to his own will.
Yeah. It has to still go through a certain authorized process, at least a Vaishnava authorized process. But Yatraya Lakshanam Praktam, that's the main thing, Lakshana, quality, characteristics.
So what's the Vaishnava authorized process?
That you manifest, you have the qualities, you get blessings of higher authorities.
That you are.
To act in a capacity like that. Unless there's really some kind of emergency, we're so isolated.
So what is the practical situation in which we would apply this?
I guess it's the way Prabhupada applied it with us. Is that what you're saying?
In other words, the yashya lakshana prokta. Okay, here I am, devotee in ISKCON. How does this verse apply to me? I'm going to act as a brahmana, or I'm going to act as this or act as that. I need.
You should have the lakshana, the qualities, should be clearly manifest and recognized by others. And then say, yes, you should do that service, which we do in a sort of a practical way. I mean, ideally, we see what a devotee's abilities are and then try to engage them accordingly. Suryatriya lakshana. And if someone manifests the qualities, we're not coming from Brahmin families, but if someone can be trained to be samo, damas, tapas, socham, and so on, and do deity worship nicely and teach, then they should be recognized as being a Brahmin, even though the birth right is not there. In fact, even the Prabhupada put more emphasis on education than even the initial samskara qualification.
But is your question, who doesn't recognize it? Is that what you were implying?
I just wanted to just get a picture of how Sri Ramaraj was applying that verse in our contemporary context.
You see, what are the lakshana of the devotees manifest? And if you study devotees' qualities, then pungso varna begun to come, then the varna becomes quite clear. How do they behave? What are their natural attributes? We have devotees. Devotees may be twice born. They may be initiated with Bhiksha mantra, but still we see that they're not necessarily Brahmins by lakshana, by qualities.
So how do you cope with that? How, let's say, in your practical situation, Hungary, how would you? And but you're advocating in the books that you're writing about Varnashram Dharma, how do you cope with someone who...
Did Prabhupada say send them to the plow department?
Well, yeah. Vaishnav means that he's entitled to Diksha Mantra. But at the same time, not in farm, because we're trying, but I think you need a certain size of a society before you can really start engaging people according to their abilities. So,
is that disclaimer presented in your book that that's not...
The Varna one. I mean, just my example is that I sometimes give is in terms of I know what goes on in the deity department in New Rajadhan, and there's like 25 devotees doing full-time service. Out of those 25 devotees, I'd say there's only one or two that are Brahmins by quality. The others are doing the Brahminical service, but you can see they really struggle with it. And some people freak out.
How does that struggle manifest?
Tarun Krishna, he almost went crazy. He just couldn't subordinate himself to be doing the same thing every day, service to the deities, and clean up, preparation, doing RT, and guessing deities. He couldn't too passionate.
And
or they just have the real difficulty with keeping the standards of cleanliness, to actually really learning, to learn really properly what it means to do things in a standard way as opposed to their own way, to learning things like cooking in a nice way. It doesn't come easy to them. They'll do it, but it's not samskara. They would be, they're better off doing something else. Someone better off would rather go, you know, make some money or do sankirtan, or let me go out in the garden and just be in the garden. I need to run around and do things, and I need to be more free than just confined into this space.
But because of necessity, they've been pressed into duty.
Yeah. But I figure if we have, 1,000 devotees in New Vajradam, then I can have 20 pujaris, then I can have 20 Brahmins. But until then, I have to engage others, and then. And then you get other people who are, our cowherd men seem to be very much sort of in the mold. They really grew from what they're doing, at least the main ones. Some others just can't do it. And this thing of accepting, devotees accepting Prabhupada, I'm just doing a PowerPoint now on Varnashram College, and that's where Prabhupada says you have to teach them. He says, yes, the majority will be Shudras. He's talking about devotees. He says the majority is just Shudras, and they have to be taught how to follow. That also requires college education. They don't want to do that. I think I need more freedom in my life. To just do whatever they want. But as soon as you give unqualified person freedom, then his life becomes chaos.
Remember that famous challenge Prabhupada gave to the GBC men in the 70s? What are you going to do when thousands of persons turn up at your farms?
Or millions. Or millions.
How are you going to engage them all?
Yeah, you'd have to educate them. Certainly, first, you can engage them, in a couple of years, you can let the herd really explode, and if they're qualified and they're able, this is my life, I'm behind the plow. How many devotees are you going to convince to get behind the plow? And how many times did Prabhupada say it? Put him behind the plow. Can't stay where you can bog with Tom Cross, send him out in the field. Won't stay out in the field. You want to go out and become a computer technician or something, or get a job pumping gas. But to actually have that devotion, to accept that this is my varna, and Prabhupada said that it requires education. And it's part of satisfaction in the 21 qualities. Prabhupada describes that as satisfaction, that you accept who you are, rather than having some all kinds of grandiose ideas about what you'd like to do. I'm going to do this for Krishna. How many of those came to pass? Big schemes. But rather that devotees should see where they're best situated, and then they can really make actually a valuable contribution, because then the society will thrive. rather than we're just like bleeding everywhere. It's not just bleeding off manpower everywhere.
Bleeding off?
Because the society, bleeding off in that it's not working as one social cohesive unit.
It's too much renunciation of duties.
Yeah, or just people going off, engaging their energies and living in the outside world.
Well, I mean, you have that unique situation in Hungary as well as Ukraine, in which you don't have a 98% Indian yatra. And Indian yatra means two things, IT and accounting. So that really changed. I'm just trying to see what you're saying in the contemporary context.
Yeah.
In the first world, this kind, it's 98% Indian congregation who are just focused on IT or accounting, some doctors, but mainly IT and accounting.
Motel management.
Say that again?
Motel management. America. A lot of motel potential.
Hotels, yeah. Well, they're one public, but there's others, and at least we can just try and encourage others. Although, for instance, in the UK, the Manor's core, who are the core devotees now, full-time devotees, are all more coming from the Indian community. They came 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. Something happened at a certain point. Mm-hmm. So congregational preaching is when it was just, it's either this or nothing, then many joined. When it was, well, you don't have to move in the temple to be a devotee. Okay. Then that became a really favorable option. And even now they have this program, they send them for a six-month sabbatical, they call it, before, trying to convince young people to do that. But, 6 months, you don't learn how to brush your teeth in 6 months, so to speak of really learning intricacies. And I have one devotee, son of disciples, who spent the whole summer with us in New Rajadam, Indian boy, who's still there when you were there. No, I think he'd already left. I heard before that. Actually. And she's so qualified. But this pressure of what family expect him to do. He would actually do it on his own. It was just up to him. But just the loving pressure from, initiated parents. It's just, but it's just natural, a real natural. You could really see the lakshana. He had the lakshana.
For?
Had the lakshana for deity worship, for full-time service, for temple life, simple life, very austere.
One problem for the USA as compared to social welfare states like UK, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, there's practically no social welfare system in the USA. No health care. No universal health care. Some states have it, some don't. No, there's no social basket to fall into. So therefore, devotees think, well, what's going to become of me in my old age? What if I get sick? Or what if I...
But of course, they only make up, I don't know, 0.5% or 0.25% of the population of the USA. It's just that we're tuned in to that real minority population, as opposed to the rest of the other people who are not necessarily so socially tied up and could be more renounced, detached, isn't it? Well, the Indian community are very, very tied in, and they're very tied into the concept of security and security for taking care of successive generations. You got to take care of your parents, etc. Whereas, I mean, there was no social security when you were around, and you know, you left it behind. There's still other people who are there, I'm saying, from the non-Indian community, maybe a little more detached. Of course, I'm not there. I don't know.
There, meaning?
America. I mean, is the non-Asian public in the same mold? In the same frame of mind.
Yeah, you for the most part. Yeah, you have to, you know, you've got to fend for yourself. You know, there's no basket to catch you. You know, it's not like the countercultural times in the 60s or 70s where you just throw everything to the wind and try to transcend. It's real. Dog eat dog and learn how to swim with the sharks, and you got to look out for yourself and try to make money somehow. It's so different in the U.S. There's unemployment for a certain amount of time. They cut you off. They don't do that in Australia and New Zealand. They don't cut you off from unemployment.
Yeah, they expect you to get a job within a certain period of time.
You're right. You pay your loans. You have to, no matter what your income is or isn't, you got to pay your university loans.
What to speak of working 80, 90 hours a week.
Whereas in these other countries, these social welfare countries, you don't pay your loans if you're not making a certain amount of money. And when you do start working, you pay according to your salary. So it could take 27 years. In New Zealand, the average man takes 24 years to pay back his loans. University loans, the average woman takes 27 years.
Yeah, I haven't paid back my university loans. They told me that if I got a job, they deduct it.
The tuition was $500 a semester.
That's what I was really wondering when I got my inheritance, whether they were going to deduct it, but wise up to it. And my mother, I was a Shivaram Swami, she didn't know I changed my name.
Oh.
That was a little trick also to the bank. I had to like show that in the will it says Peter Latai, and I had to show that I'm still the same person.
Oh, you did that? She didn't know.
Hmm?
She didn't know you changed
your name. I never told her. Yeah. That would have been the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, my family knew I had to change my name. I had to change it because of I was hot behind the Iron Curtain. But I was such and such and such the third. So it was bad enough there was no fourth coming. But
that's right, the end of the line. That was my mother's end of the... So I was talking about how, you know, my cousin's children, and, you know, because they don't have children yet, the grandchildren, so the great-grandchildren, always lamenting that...
Yeah.
End of the line.
I would say that one too.
So I was going to say, Maharaj, in this Varnashram Prabhupada, they're asking Prabhupada's Varnashram College for boys and girls. And he says, no, boys only, no women.
How are you going to approach that in your book?
Anyway, that's for someone else. That's education. That's Radhanath is doing the education book. You know Radhanath. and I got Radharaja's doing economy, and he's doing education. I'm not going to keep writing volume after volume after volume of this. This is, but
how much emphasis, just curious, are you putting on training as opposed to education?
Training in terms of skills, and education in terms of knowledge.
Yeah, because it seems that it's even more training than education.
Especially in the lower varnas, becomes more and more skill, right? Of course, everything's skill.
But even,
Brahmins, yagyas, mean skill.
That, yeah, this also requires training.
Yeah.
Because I've seen, at least my observation, a lot of the knowledge becomes academic.
Yeah, it becomes unbalanced.
Yeah.
It becomes so much, all right, I'll learn tattva this, tattva that, and what do you know?
Still don't know how to tie your shoelaces.
But it was interesting, perhaps, you know, women, and now Prabhupada's saying that all the men should be trained. Women, they should just learn how to cook, clean, housekeep, and so on. But for me, that sort of put a little perspective. This, and this, of course, this is 94. In terms 94? Of, this is 94, 74, sorry. In terms of, you know, female Diksha Guru is always, did Prabhupada want him trained for that? Prabhupada also here says that only Brahmins should take sannyas, and maybe some Kshatriyas, but only Brahmins taking sannyas. Should we continue with these interesting...
Yeah, it's just interesting how you're trying to work it all out.
It's theory. I don't know how it would really require authority and to implement, and it requires a quantity of people. It requires, and it's why our National College Prabhupada said, yeah, karmis can come. It says, but they have to follow the regulative principles. I have to attend the morning program, same thing as you're doing. And in one place he says, this is the beginning, this is the beginning of Krishna consciousness. He makes it sound like this is a bhakta program.
So that means, let's say, there's a Varnashram college. According to my propensity, I might come and learn farming, I might learn
leadership,
management.
You might learn management, or you might learn philosophy and teaching, educational skills, or you learn other types of general skills, labor skills, art, music, things like that, along with helping everybody else, being an assistant. And but you have to follow principles, or he says, well, they can eat meat, but then they have to go out in the forest and kill it themselves. He says the Shudras and the Kshatriyas. And but otherwise, and they have to attend the morning program. It's just like what you've got in your the same thing. You're not calling it, they're having to read the books and so on. And then Prabhupada.
What are you referring to?
His love program.
Oh, love
program. And then he said it will stop unemployment. Will teach people, on the basis of this, people will become educated to be law-abiding citizens.
How does it work without kings?
Nothing works without kings. That's the most essential element, real authority.
Yeah, leader. And the king, authority.
King with an army.
With a sword.
Yeah.
Stalin would agree with that.
Huh?
Stalin would agree with that.
Yeah.
When he was told about the Pope, his question was, how many divisions does he have?
We don't have.
How do we have kings? We can't.
By training.
Well, even if we tried to put them in a position of kingly positions in a modern democratic society.
You call them whatever you want. You can call them a president, prime minister.
I know, but what if they acted with force upon their citizens?
That's always my argument when I'm talking to people here in India. Modi should declare emergency, take over, throw out all these other non-aligned politicians, and declare a state of emergency, and just take over. It's the only way it'll happen. You can't keep waiting on votes that you're going to get voted in. Ultimately, you have to take over. Just to start doing unpopular things, shutting down slaughterhouses, and he'd be the right person. It's on their agendas. Shutting down all the liquor and everything, brothels. What Prabhupada wrote, you know, when he was going to visit Indira, that all MPs have to go to a kirtan morning and evening. In Parliament.
Did Prabhupada say something like that? I'll use it. Chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah. It doesn't, without that kind of absolute authority. So it really, Varnashram, I mean, to use it on the way we do it with this sort of ecclesiastic force that we're trying to do it, it's not forceful enough. So poor people don't want to do it, you say, okay, you can't come to the temple, Hare Krishna, so what?
Is that going to be in your book?
What?
This point?
Yeah, well, it was already in the first one, you know, to establish it in ISKCON. We're really, really limited. You have to have real. The Satsukh Maharaj used to say that, the Prabhupada told him that the temple president is like the king in his temple.
There'd be a huge reaction to that
one. He used to be like that.
So much abuse, so much power.
Remember the financial manifesto for social sanity?
I remember it well.
Yeah. Yeah, there's abuse because they're not qualified, they're not trained. Just stuck people in and get on with the job, like GBCs.
Well, I was just reading just today the latest statistics for millennials born around the year 2000. They have in the USA they have an alarming low appreciation of democracy. In other words, they don't think democracy is necessary.
That sounds good.
And one reason given is that it's not putting any money in my pocket. What's it doing for me? I can't say anymore that as a young person I'm going to make more money than my parents. So if democracy is not allowing that, what's the use of it? There's no more American dream, so therefore why? Who cares for democracy?
What's the alternative?
People are really looking for alternative politicians. Look at this far-right 34-year-old young man who became Prime Minister of Austria and Macron in France. People are really looking for these people are not. They're not trained lifelong politicians. They just sort of come out of nowhere.
just happened in New Zealand. 38-year-old woman became prime minister.
That's right.
Out of nowhere.
People are really looking for alternatives, and which, you know, if we had trained people, then
thank God we trust.
Thank God we trust. Sooner or later, all these books are out there, and people want to say, well, these guys got all the answers, where are they?
Great.
Where are their leaders? That was sort of what Gaur Shakti was trying to do. But Hungary's still a little way too, you know, still a decade behind the rest of the world.
In terms of
many things, in terms of politics and thinking and development, just because of being under 40 years beyond the Iron Curtain, it takes a little time to catch up. Democracy, to boost their faith in democracy. When I was, recording this, when I see pictures of North Korea, I said, man, this is the place to live. It's clean, it's organized, it's law-abiding. Well, they got abuse this, abuse that.
Famine, cannibalism.
Huh?
Famine, they can't feed their people.
Cannibalism?
Sometimes it was happening. Extreme, when things get extreme.
Or China, this one party system, and they're really, you know, it's as an, you know, he's just pushing it now as an alternative for a political structure that it works. Look, the economy is booming and people are well off. We're answering problems. Now we're addressing climate, protecting the environment and doing things in a greener way. And one-party system is a good alternative to, well, what's America got? A two-party system. We've got one or two Bernie Sanders who are not part of the established party. Not really democracy. India's democracy. It's got like 100 parties. Well, that was really veered off from tasting the nectar of the Lord's lips. Adaramrit. It's 7:20. This is what Varnashram does to you. It gets you into this place. Social issues and how to make the leap, and ultimately it takes, gotta have a dictator in there, and then it'll happen.
But like you had one in.
What?
You had one.
No, you had one over a small area, he burned himself out. To a country, what Prabhupada wanted to do with Manipur.
Mauritius, also.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he talked about Mauritius, but he talked about Manipur as a Varnashram state. That was his pilot project. Bhajanitai Gauradisham Jai Arjun Prabhu Vahan. That was going to be the marching song for the soldiers. Shall we finish the purport or just leave it here?
Well, let's finish the purport, I guess. Where I don't have no idea.
Nashudrat Bhagavat, but that's similar in the Padma Purana, I think. Maharaj was reading.
Similarly, in the Padma Purana, it is said, Nasudra Bhagavad Bhaktas Te Tu Bhagavata Bhata Sarvavane Shute Sudra Yena Bhakta Janardane. Devotee should never be considered a Sudra All the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be recognized as Bhagavatas. If one is not a devotee of Lord Krishna, however, even if born in a Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya family, he should be considered a Shudra. In the Padma Purana, it is also said, Svapakam even Nekshetha, Doke Viprama Vaishnavam, Vaishnavo, Varno Vayopi Punati Bhuvanatrayam. If a person born in a Brahmin family is an Avaishnava, a non-devotee, one should not see his face, exactly as one should not look upon the face of a chandala or a dog eater. However, a Vaishnava found in Varnas other than Brahman can purify all the three worlds. Padma Purana further says, Shudram va bhagavad bhaktam nishadam svapacham tata vikshate jati sammanya sayati narakam dhruvam. One who considers a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who was born in the family of Sudras, Nishadas, or Chandalas, to belong to that particular caste, certainly goes to hell. A Brahmin must be a Vaishnava and a learned scholar. Therefore, in India, it is customary to address a Brahmin as Pandit. Without knowledge of Brahman, one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a Vaishnava is already a Brahmin, whereas a Brahmin, they become a Vaishnava. In the Guru Purana, it is said, Bhaktir ashta vidha yesha yasmin leche pivartate sa vipendro munishres sagyani sacha pandita. Even if one is born a mulecha, he becomes a devotee, he is to be considered the best of the Brahmins and the learned pandit. Similarly, the Tattva Sagra says, Yata kanchanatam yati kamsamrasa vidanata tata diksha vidani nandvichatam jayate.
What is this Tattva Sagra? What kind of book is it?
I always thought it was quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas. That's the reference.
Yeah. It's probably quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas.
As bell metal is turned to gold when mixed with mercury in an alchemical process, so one who is properly trained and initiated by a bona fide spiritual master becomes a Brahmin immediately. All this evidence found in the revealed scriptures proves that according to the Vedic version, a Vaishnava is never to be considered a Brahmana or a non-Brahmana. A Vaishnava should not be thought to belong to a lower caste, even if born in the lecture of a Yagana family. Because he has become a devotee of Lord Krishna, he has become purified and has attained the stage of Brahmana. Dvichatam jayate rina. Hare Krishna.
Will we continue tomorrow?
Yeah. Do you know how many hits a day is supposed to take in this?
That's fictional.
It's a form. It's called flutical.
Yeah, that's the sort of modern day version of it. Usually you take two in each nostril, twice, at most three times a day.
Yeah.
And that takes a couple of days to
start working.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to find those sleeping capsules, you see.